When I first started walking with the Lord, I did not really trust Him. And how He longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valley He led me, afraid as I may be, until I felt His loving arms embracing me. And I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. He's come through too many times that puts my mind at ease. And I'll stake my very life He's gonna take care of me. 'Cause I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. How could I ever doubt a God whose hands hold this universe? And how could I ever question His ability? You see, there's no place that I can go that He doesn't know exactly where I'll be. He's always aware of wherever I am and just what I need. And I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. He's come through too many times that puts my mind at ease. And I'll stake my very life He's gonna take care of me. Because I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. Take care of me.
Enough for me. He's everything I've ever imagined and so much more.
What do you say to someone who feels like they've lost it all? Over the edge with no one there to break their fall. And what do you say to someone who feels so unloved, giving themselves away a little bit every day just to be good enough? And what do you say to a hopeless soul who can't remember their way home and everything is out of their control? There is no valley, there is no darkness, there is no sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus. There is no moment, there is no distance, there is no heartbreak take you through. So before you think that you're too lost to sing, remember there is nothing greater than grace. What do you say to someone whose life is on the line? And they're unsure what happens after their last breath in time. What do you say to someone who's built a wall you can't break through, and it's so hard for them to hear the truth? There is no valley, there is no darkness, there is no sorrow of Jesus. There is no moment, there is no distance, there is no heartbreak He can't take you through. So before you think that you're too lost to sing, remember there is nothing greater than grace. It's greater than the grace of Jesus. There is no moment, there is no distance, there is no heartbreak He can't take you through. So before you think that you're too lost to stay, so before you think that you're too lost to stay, there is nothing greater than grace. No, there is nothing greater than God's
down memory lane not so long ago, Satan came by my way, making me feel so low. He brought up thoughts of hurt and pain when I had gone astray. He wanted to discourage me as I walked along my way. He said, "You're undeserving, 'cause I know where you've been, and I have a record of your life when you were bound by sin. I know your darkest secrets that you would never tell. What makes you think you don't deserve a place with me in hell?" I heard the old accuser, and this was my reply. "Well, you're right for all the things I've done. I sure deserve to die. My righteousness is filthy rags. My goodness is unclean. There's only one thing I can say to what you've said to me. It's under the blood. Oh, praise His dear name. Shackled by sin and shame, it's already gone. I'm happy reminding Him it's under the blood." Aren't you glad your sins are washed away tonight? What a God we serve. How many times I've stumbled along this earthly way, and I've failed a thousand times before, for that I am ashamed. I'm sorry for the things I've done. The Lord could hear my cry, and I rejoice when I heard His voice. This was His reply. Victory was given when you were born again. I washed that stained and sinful past, put new life within. No longer do you bear the mark that sin had brought your way. With happiness and peace with God, you now can say, it's under Thy blood that praises Thy name. I'm not what I used to be. My life has been changed. The shackle of sin and shame, it's already gone. I'm happy reminding Him it's under the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's under the blood of Christ. What I used to be, my has been changed. A shackle by sin and shame, it's already gone. I'm happy reminding Him it's under the blood. Bless His name, it's under the blood. You start talking about how many verses of the Bible you know, and that's wonderful. I think you ought to know God's Word. But I want to tell you something. Your knowledge of God's Word makes you no stronger than the devil. Because the Bible says the devil knows the Word of God. Demons in hell knows the Word of God. They know and they tremble. Listen, you start talking about how you have perfect attendance at church, and I'm glad you're here tonight. Amen. It'd be real boring if it was just me and Brother Robbie in here tonight. But I want to tell you something. There's nothing that puts the devil on the run like when you start talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. His power begins to break down with the blood of Jesus. And I'm glad I'm saved tonight, and it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. What a God we serve. I want to say this to this church. If you'll stand with me to your feet and you'll start turning to John chapter number 12. I want to say this church, what an awesome delight and a blessing it's been to be with you this week. And we just have had a blast. And we've had fun. I've had fun going to church. Amen. This is my ball game right here. This is my party crowd. Amen. Anybody know what that means? Anybody, you hadn't always been in church. I can look at some of you. Y'all hadn't always been in church. Amen. But this is my party crowd. This is the crowd that I love to hang out with. And I thank God that we can worship the Lord in His presence. And I've had fun this week. I've enjoyed the fellowship of your pastor and his family. And I went with Brother Derek this morning. And we caught some fish. Well, he caught fish. I just talked the whole time. And we had a good time, and I appreciate you taking your time out of your busy schedule and your day to take this old preacher to have a good time. And I love to have fun. I love to laugh. And I love God's people. And y'all are my kind of people. Amen. And we consider you in our family. We consider y'all part of our family. And we hope that you consider us a part of yours. That's one thing about family. You can choose your friends. You can't choose your family. You stuck with me. Whether you like it or not. Amen. We're all in the family of God. And I love you. And I appreciate all that y'all have done. Y'all have spoiled us rotten. And we love you for it. And thank you for it. And before you leave tonight, I want everybody that can and will come by our table. And you ain't got to buy nothing, but we're back there. And I want just at least shake your hand and tell you how much I love you and appreciate you, meet you one-on-one. I know a lot of you got to get out of here and get to work, but I'm not going to be here tomorrow. So you come by and see me. Amen. I love you and I appreciate you. John chapter number 12, are you there? Say amen. Amen. Very familiar piece of scripture that I want to take tonight and I want to preach from. John chapter number 12. The Bible says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. I want to stop long enough and say this. If God's got enough power, if Jesus has enough power to call me out of my grave and out of my deadness and out of my dead condition, I think I ought to walk with him a little while. And if he's sitting at the table, I ought to hang out with him. You say, where do I go after salvation? Just sit down with him. Just hang out with him a little while. Walk with him a little while. Don't go back to that same dead crowd he saved you out of. Lazarus didn't go hang. He didn't sit in a lawn chair in the cemetery. Lazarus went with Jesus wherever he was. And the Bible said that he sat at the table with him. I like that. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Didn't care about God, didn't care about Jesus, didn't care about nobody but himself. And I want to tell you something. Anytime a Pharisee or anytime a devil is in church, he'll raise up his head and he'll start rebuking anybody that's doing something for God. I just had to, that's a commercial. That's not going to cost you nothing. Then saith Jesus, let her alone. Say that with me. Let her alone. Say that again. Wake your neighbor up. Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. You can have a seat. The last time we saw this crowd together, it was a completely different story than what I read to you. In fact, if you go home and study your Bible, you'll find that in John chapter number 11, just one chapter back, one page back, one chapter over, you will find that it is a very dismal condition that the scripture starts off in. It tells us that this same man, Lazarus, was sick. And this was a dark time in John chapter number 11. This was a discouraging time in John chapter number 11. And I'd love to be one of them preachers. You can find them on TV, but you won't find one in this church who will tell you. I'd love to be one that says when you get saved, everything is hunky and dory from that day forward. But how many of you can say amen? There's days when you can't find hunky nor dory. There's days when life does not make sense. There's days when things do not look good. There are days that you as a Christian are going to have to go through, and it's going to be discouraging, and the devil's going to seem like he's got the upper hand. There may be days you've got to walk through a cemetery and you've got to bury something that you once possessed and you once held on to. But I want to tell you something. I want to be the one to encourage you tonight and say, though you go through the valleys, the valley is not the end of the story. Though you go through difficulties, your difficulties are not the end of the story. John chapter number 11 looked really bad for Mary and Martha and Lazarus. But I'm not in John 11 tonight. I'm in John chapter number 12. And I love the fact that God always rewrites the story. And when he does it, he puts his glory in your story. I like that verse of scripture. I'm going to preach now if that's all right. I like that verse of scripture that says that he is the author and finisher of my faith. You know what that means? That God is the one who started this in you, and it'll be God who finishes it in you. Now, along your life story, you may have a chapter of cancer. This young girl in the wheelchair may have a chapter where it looked dark and it looked dismal and it looked difficult and it looked discouraging and doubtful. But I am glad that God is not finished with you. Listen, cancer may have one chapter. Divorce may have one chapter. Difficulty may have one chapter. The devil may get a chapter in your life, and he writes it for ugliness, and he writes it with the grays and the dismal of life. But I'm glad that the devil is not the finisher of my faith. The devil does. I'm about to have a fit. I wish you'd help me preach on a Wednesday night. The devil does not get to finish my story. He may have one chapter, but God gets the pen back, and God says, now that chapter looked bad, but watch what I can do in your life. I'm here to tell you, child of God, lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. God is not finished with you yet. Oh, in chapter 12, let's get there quick, amen. I don't like chapter 11. I've had to bury a sister of mine. We went and visited her grave, and I saw just a name etched on a stone, and I looked down into that ground and thought that 6 feet under was a body that I held and hugged and loved. But I'm glad that my hope is not in a grave. My hope is not in a cemetery. My hope is not in a headstone. But I know that she's on the other side looking down on me tonight saying, preach, boy. Preach. My wife had a mama that died to cancer, and it was a dark time in our life. Just 4 days before our wedding, we had to go to a funeral and lower that good godly woman into the ground. But I want to tell you something. Cancer had one chapter in our life, but God is writing it for our good and his glory. Somebody praise the Lord. This is a different story. This is a different setting. This is a different situation in John 12. Because they have come through the valley. They have walked through the cemetery. And you may have to too. But that's not the end of your story either. You need to turn the page, honey. God's about to do something big in your life. And here sitting at the table, Martha's in the kitchen cooking hamburgers and French fries. She's serving and loving the fact. Can you see the celebration that's in the house as Lazarus, who was dead, is sitting at the table? And there the man who called him out of the grave is sitting at the table. And there Martha's in the kitchen.
And she's cooking and she's serving. And Lazarus is at the end of the table watching Jesus and just looking at him in awe and wonder at that God that was able to reach into death's door and snatch him up out of death's grip. I sure am. Listen, I know you're going to sit there and just, you're going to let me shout a little while. You're going to let me holler. But I would to God somebody would help me preach tonight. I'm looking across the crowd and there's some of you hadn't always been in church. There's some Lazaruses in here tonight, and you better not get pious and think that you deserve what you got. You ought to think back to that time when God came and found you on that bar stool. You ought to think back when God found you in your trespasses and sins, where your life was nothing but dead. And then Jesus walked on the scene and it changed everything. And tonight you're sitting there, you got your family beside you, you got your wife beside you. You better praise God that he came and found you and he called you and he set you at the table. Tonight I want to preach on what do you do when God brings you from the tomb to the table. There are some reactions that you and I ought to have tonight when God brings us from that tomb and sets us down at the table. Now there'll be Judases around and there'll be other people around. In another text it says that all the disciples murmured and thought that that was a waste what Mary did. And there will be other people in here that will not get what I'm preaching tonight. But I believe I'm in here with enough crowd. I believe there's at least two or three in here that you remember what life was like before Jesus. You remember how dead it was like before Jesus. And here you're sitting at the table where the God himself feeds you with manna from on high. You can't just sit there. You've got to have a reaction when you think about where he brought you from to where you are right now. When God brings us from the tomb to the table, I want to go ahead and tell you, I ate two bowls of Wheaties this morning. And I just came to preach, amen. I'm going to leave it all on the table because he gets all of it, amen. There are some reactions that I want you to look at tonight. And I want to tell you, I'm glad that he called me out of my place where I was. I had no life in me. Oh, I was just living an insignificant life. He found me as a young man who was doing nothing for God and could do nothing for myself. I was as miserable as I could be. I'd surrounded myself with some good people, but I was living an insignificant life. And then Jesus showed up on the scene and changed it all. And I want to tell you tonight, on the way over here, I got to thinking about where I used to be and where I could be in that insignificant life. And I got to praising God. And I got to thinking how awesome he is that he would go find me where nobody knew me. And he would allow me to preach tonight. I don't deserve this. So you got to please pay no mind or attention to me as I worship him tonight and thank him that he didn't leave me back there, but he brought me from the tomb and sat me at the table. Oh, listen tonight, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, the tomb tonight represents the impossible in your life, but the table represents the incredible in your life. The tomb represents the misery that the Lord, that the devil and the world gives to you, but the table represents the miracle that God does in you. The tomb displays brokenness, but the table displays blessing. The tomb represents our fears without God, but the table represents our fellowship with God. I wish to God somebody help me preach tonight. The tomb is the place where we celebrate what was, but at the table we are celebrating what was not, but now is. The tomb is a place of testing, but the table is a place of testifying. The tomb shows us our greatest weakness, but the table shows us our God's greatest power. Hey, the tomb represents and leaves us in utter defeat, but the table tonight, somebody help me right here, the table tonight brings us to an ultimate victory. I'm glad tonight I'm at the table and I'm not at the tomb anymore. Oh, Mary had some reactions that you and I ought to have tonight, and I want to give them to you real quick. And see, Mary loved Jesus. And love is not a noun. Young people today use love as if it's a noun. Young people today, they look and they think, that's my love. And I know what you mean. I get it. Some other people, you'll let Hollywood describe what love really is. And oh, listen, I'm amazed at how many people have patterned their lives off of something they've seen on a movie screen. Y'all listen to me. Don't leave me now. They try to take their lives and portray what they see on television or on Hollywood because they think they represent, they haven't had love in their own home, so they think that's what love is. Let me tell you something. Hollywood has the worst divorce rate. Hollywood has the worst relationships. Hollywood is a mess. Hollywood is out of hell. But I'm here to tell you that love is represented in the Bible, and the Bible says that God is love. But when we love Him, there is reaction. There is an action. Love is a verb in God's text. It is something. You can't just sing, oh, how I love Jesus, but you don't show how much you love Jesus. My sweet wife is as good to me as anybody has ever been. She loves me. She sees me when nobody else sees me. There are days when I want to show her how much I love her, and I don't have money to do it like I want to, but I'll stop by the flower shop and I'll pick her up flowers. And my little girl Caroline loves it when I get her mama flowers. In fact, if I do something that messes everything up, Caroline walks up to me and says, go get her some flowers. She'll love it. It'll be okay. That'll make up for everything. God gave me that little girl just to remind me. And you know what? I'll bring in those flowers and her face will light up and she'll put them on the table and Caroline will walk by and say, Mama, Daddy got you some pretty flowers, didn't he? You know what that is? That is me showing her. I went out of my way to show her that I do love. I brought her something to let her know I do really love you and I do care. She has something that she can see, and it's not just words, but it's an action. I am giving her something. I want to ask you a question. When was the last time you brought flowers to Jesus? Oh, we sing, oh, how I love. Oh, God, how long has he been preaching? Jesus, me too, preacher, yeah. But when was the last time you didn't just sing the song, but you served the one we're singing about? What does God have to show for your love? Listen, when God brings you from that tomb and He sits you down at the table, you will have a reaction like Mary did. The Bible said that she slipped away for a little while. And sometimes you may need to get out of the crowd too. You may need to get away from everybody else and just say, nobody else is going to do this, so I've got to do this. And the Bible said that she slipped away, and she got this bottle, this box of spikenard, and brought it to the table. And the Bible says it was very costly. It cost her something. In fact, Judas even claimed it, and he told us that it was 300 pence, which in that day was a year's wage. If you make $50,000 a year, God bless you. But that is a $50,000 bottle of ointment she's pouring on Jesus. Thank God. Perfume don't cost that nowadays. In Jesus' name. I would be one sure enough broke man. $50,000 worth of ointment. And the Bible said she went back there and brought it to him. You see, in that little bottle is that woman's life. In that bottle is something that woman worked for. In that little bottle is something that was very costly and very precious to her. But watch what she does. She goes and gets the most expensive thing she has in her house and brings it to Jesus. What did she do? What was that first reaction? She released the content. Listen, God don't need what the world needs. The world wants all you have. The world wants all your glamour. The world wants you to have riches. The world to be accepted wants you to be well off. To be popular, you got to have all that life can afford. But do you know what God wants? He just wants you. He wants your life that you've put in that little vessel. You say, I don't have a bunch of money to give to God. I don't have a bunch of cars to give to God. I don't have all these things that other people give to God. But you got something that nobody else has. Nobody else had a bottle of spikenard. She went and got what nobody else had. What do I have that nobody else does? You. He just wants you. And she laid herself down at his feet and she said, you got all that I have. And tonight I want to challenge you to just lay yourself at the feet of Jesus and just offer your entire life to him. Because whether you believe it or not, whether you know it or not, whether you recognize it or not, he's worth everything you have in your possession, in your person. The Bible said that she came to Jesus, and this ointment, I haven't got enough time tonight to talk about all the ins and outs of what that ointment was, but it's special ointment. It's not just something that they bring out every day and they just show everybody. It's something that they keep tucked away. They keep it locked away. They keep it away from thieves because it's so expensive, and she has reserved this. It's not for everybody to participate in, and your life ain't either. You got to be careful about letting everybody into your life because they will take away from you more than they give you. Young girls, listen to me. You've got to be careful about who you give yourself away to because a man will steal, he'll kill, and he'll destroy because he's a thief. But God has never failed one person yet. I dare you. I triple double dog dare you. That means you got to do it now to give all you have to Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. That's the Bible. When was the last time you tried giving your all to him? She had it tucked away. It was very special. And the Bible said that she came in and she didn't just pour one drop on him. She poured the whole bottle on him. Because I want to tell you something. When I surrendered my life to Jesus, you want to know why we travel as much as we do? You want to know why I put so much into what I'm doing right now? Some of you looking at me like I'm crazy. It's all right. I'm looking at y'all like you crazy too. because I cannot help but give him everything I have. Every emotion, he's got it. Every action, I want him to have it. Everything and anything, he has access to it all. All my relationships, all my friendships, everything. He can check my phone when he wants to. He can check my computer when he wants to. He's got access to it all. Not just one drop, but the whole thing. And isn't it amazing how she didn't just give one drop to him, but she gave him the whole thing? And I got to thinking about it. Why in the world did she give all of that to Jesus? Because to be honest with you, there was a purpose for those bottles of ointment. Do you know what they're used for, Brother Jake? That spikenard is what? Anoint the dead. That's so they could anoint their loved ones. Y'all help me. My mind's slipping me. Didn't Mary have somebody that died recently? But why didn't he get it? It's because she was reserving it for herself. It wasn't for Lazarus. Maybe. But why didn't she keep it for herself? Because she knew there's a greater purpose in giving it to him than anybody else could have. She anointed Lazarus, but that would have been it. The Bible said that they poured that ointment. She poured that ointment. Some of y'all still with me? Say amen. I'm going somewhere. You got to stay with me now. Don't go to sleep now. We will charge you $149 a night if you go to sleep in this church. Hampton Inn does it. We can too. The Bible said, preacher, that that ointment filled the house where they were sitting. That's how strong that stuff was. And I got to thinking about it, Brother Dalton. If it's strong enough to fill the house, I wonder what all them people thought walking by that house. Do you smell that? There's something going on in there. That smells wonderful. That smells like a king might be in there. Somebody's worshiping in there. And if it was enough to fill the house, what do you think it did to the person she poured it on? I ain't got enough time to preach all this, but I want to. Everywhere Jesus went from that day forward, people had to walk by him and say, something special about him. He didn't have to say a word, but they, and then I got to looking. The Bible says that it was 6 days before the Passover. There's something special that happened at that Passover. Old Testament Passovers, a lamb was killed. New Testament Passover, the lamb was killed. 6 days before he went to the cross of Calvary, here she is pouring it all over his head, and it's running all the way down to his feet. That means that everybody, y'all ain't enjoying this. I know where the lights are. I will preach to myself and enjoy myself. I know where the lights, if you need to leave, go. Everybody he met had to smell Mary's praise on him. And I got to looking at who all he met. He He met some Pharisees. The high priest that day, the Bible said, he spit on him, and then he backed up and he smote him, slapped him across the face. Some of you rednecks in here, what if somebody slapped you? Somebody's got to die. But he didn't retaliate, and he chose to die. But I wonder what Caiaphas did after that. Something special about him. Pilate, they say you're a king. I don't believe it. Are you a king? You're not going to talk to me? Don't you know I have the power to take your life or give you life? And he was silent up to that point. But he rose up and looked that toad in the eyeballs. And he said, you have no power, but that the power is given from my Father. I have power to take my life and lay it down. I have power to take it up again. There's something special about him. Those Roman soldiers, as they're beating him, I bet a wind blew through those Jerusalem streets. And them trained assassins, them butchers, them godless, heartless, cold people stopped. There's something special about him. See, what you do not know is when you release your life on Jesus, he carries your life further than you could ever imagine. And it changes people that see your life on him. She released the content. There's a man by the name of William Borden. William Borden was an heir to Borden Dairy Farms. How many of you buy Borden milk? I don't. I buy IGA. Because I'm cheap that way, amen? But it's got to be the red top. Don't bring me none of that NIV stuff. I want the real stuff. I don't really care. It don't matter. Borden Dairy Farms. They've got trucks going up and down the road carrying their dairy. Back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, William Borden was one of the smartest young men and one of the most wealthy families. The Borden family was one of the most wealthy families in America. And he was heir to all of it. Millions and millions and millions of dollars. And William Borden, one day, they took him, sent him to the finest schools. He had the greatest education. He was one of the most brightest young men and most promising young men coming up in his generation. And one day he walked to his father, and his father was beaming with pride because his father wanted to give him the family business. And he looked at his father and he said, God's called me to the mission field. And I've decided I'm going to be a missionary. His father said, I have handed you multi-million dollar business. And you're going to go live in a hut in Africa to be a missionary. He said, I want you to be a part. I'm your father. I want you to be a part of my business. He said, but Dad, I've got another father, and I must be about my father's business. And that man went on to be a missionary and left everything he had. He died as a young man, caught a disease on the mission field. And some of your heart will fall. And you'll say, don't call me to be a missionary. Be careful. Because you can have all the world. But what have you gained if you lose your own soul? When they found him dead in that place where he was a missionary and living for God, had nothing to his name but the clothes on his back. And those natives found him in that place where he had died. And on his table, preacher, he wrote three things in a diary. On each page, he wrote three words or three statements. No regrets. No remorse. No reserves. And you know what that meant? I left everything for God. And I have no reserves. And I promise you something at the end of your life, whatever day that is, if you've given it all to God, you will never regret it. But I want to ask you a question. What are you holding back for everybody else? What are you holding back for yourself? I dare you. Give it to him and watch what he can do with your life. There's a young man in here who probably does not know Jesus Christ as his Savior. I challenge you. Give your life to him. And in a few weeks, if he is not who he said he'd be, go back to doing what you're doing. But if you really give him your life, hold on. You're about to see things you've never seen before. And you too can say that. No regrets. She had two more actions. She released the content. She also resisted the critic. Judas said, why wasn't this ointment sold? Given to the poor. We could have made money off this thing. And he didn't care about the poor. He cared what was put in the bag. Because he was the bearer of the bag. And if he's carrying the bag, it's making him look good. Be careful when you try to cash in on somebody else's praise. I want to tell you something. I don't mean to be rude, but I will. What she's doing had nothing to do with him. It wasn't his ointment. He didn't invest in the ointment. He didn't invest in the praise. Not once do you ever see Judas at Jesus' feet. But you see him in his face. You got to watch out when you always get in God's face, but you never get at his feet. But you know what? Not once did Judas ever offer anything to Jesus. But he's very opinionated about other people who do. And you will not ever have a problem with people worshiping God unless you've chosen that you won't. Because if we are really busy worshiping God, we won't care what nobody else does. I could preach that all day. I wished I could. And the only reason I'm staying on it is because I feel some. I feel like there might be some people in here that you're quick to judge everybody else and how they worship and how they've given their life over. You know what? I take all that back. Ain't nobody in here that would even dare to be that ignorant about worship. Because you've had it preached to you before. But just in case you know somebody that's like that, you go tell them I said that. And if you see the devil tomorrow, you tell him I said that too. That it's only the people who are inactive who are judging those who are active. I don't have enough time. No, you can't praise right there. You can't get me excited right there because I've got 1,000 more things I want to say right there. The scribes are judging when that man was lowered down out of the down through the roof, and they looked up, and Jesus saw their faith as they lowered him. He said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And the Bible said that there were certain scribes. Get up. There were certain scribes. Come on, quicker. There were certain scribes sitting there. See, the problem with people who have a problem with people serving God is they're not up doing nothing, but they're always judging other people who are. And if you're in here and you're always sitting down, but you're never doing anything to give to God, please don't say nothing about my praise. You don't know where that bottle came from. You don't know where I just came from. You showed up too late for the party. You did not see me crying at the tomb. You did not see me discouraged at the tomb. You do not know how far he brought me from the tomb to the table. So if you have a problem with what I do, he said, why wasn't this sold? But I wanted to watch, I want you to see something that amazed me. Bible said that Mary stood up and rebuked him. No, it didn't say that, did it? Preacher, I'm trying. But I got God talking to me right now. He's telling me, say that. Don't say that. Say that. And a man with ADD, that will mess him up. Of all that Mary is doing in this text, she's very active. But do you know one thing she's not doing? Talking. In fact, she doesn't say a word in the whole text. Ah, she just keeps doing what she came to do. And it was the Lord who stood up and said, say it with me. Let her alone. That fires me up. Because when they talk about what I do, I don't have to stop what I'm doing. I just keep doing what I'm doing. And he takes care of it. You know what happens when we go on the defensive for what we have done for the Lord? And we try to defend ourselves. We take away an attribute from God that he loves to use. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Now, I'll be honest with you. I get a little impatient with him. I will repay. I even try to give him stuff. God, I read over here where you gave them dudes some emeralds. I can't explain what that is, do I? Go ask your mama what emeralds are. It ain't good. God, I saw where you swallowed up people out of there. If you do that, I promise you, you'll get on CNN quick. That'd be awesome. But you know what? I don't have to worry about that. Because I didn't come for them. I came for him. I didn't do it for them. Approve or no. I did it for him. She resisted the critic. She didn't even pay attention to him. And if you resist the devil, he will flee. As an old preacher, I'm talking about a gravel throat, redneck preacher. in London, England. Sure enough, you just happen to be two illustrations of my week. I haven't met many people from England. Not many. But I like your accent. This man's going to pray, and he's calling God out of heaven in one of their cathedrals there. And this woman is over there staring at him. And he gets done praying, and he's wiping snot and tears. And she walks over to him, and she said, "Sir, I have you to know that I have been offended by you." And he said, "Ma'am, I didn't mean to offend you. What did I do?" She said, "The way you were speaking in your prayer, you butchered the King's English." She said, "And I'll be honest with you, if you talked to me that way, I would turn my back to you until you apologized and cleaned it up." And he said, "Ma'am, I did not mean to offend you. I'm not from around here. I didn't know I was going to offend anybody. But ma'am, to be honest with you, I wasn't talking to you." You ain't got to give an answer for what you do. It ain't for them. I've gone too long, I know. I want you to hear this. She resisted the critic. She released the content. And she relished the cause. Jesus said, "Against the day of my burying has she done this." And I got to thinking, why did he say that? Why did he say, "Against the day of my burying has she done this"? They would anoint these bodies, and it was a sign of love. It was one of the last acts that they could do for love for the people as they buried them, was to pour the ointment on them, to keep it and to give that to them. It was an act of mourning. It was an act of love. It was an act of service for their dead. And Jesus said, "She did this against the day of my burying." And I got to thinking about it, about when Jesus was buried. It said that for 3 days he laid in the earth, in the heart of the earth, where he got the keys of hell and of death, and he fought hell off for me and you. But he got up on the third day. And there's a text that says the women before daybreak went and bought spices, spikenard and ointment, to take to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. But when they got there, he wasn't there. Those women, those women, I know you're tired, it's all right. Those women bought spices to anoint a body that they never got to use. But you know somebody who's not in that crowd? Of all people that we know, Mary anoints Jesus. It's something she loved to do. But she's not in that crowd. You know why? She already did it. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm taking my seat right now. You get up, do whatever you got to do. I come to tell you this. If you're going to love God, you better do it now. If you've got something that you're going to give to God, you better give it now. Because there may be a chance that when you decide to give it all to Him, He may be gone. And I want to challenge somebody who's waiting to see that moment that you give God everything. That moment is right now. Do not delay. There's a young man in here, and you ought to just go ahead and surrender. There's a young lady in here. You ought to just go ahead and give your life to Him, because there's coming a day when He's not going to be left to be found. And if anybody in here is going to serve God, it's time you got active and do it now. Because one of these days, He'll be gone. Amen, preacher.
preached to the teenagers a while back, and anyhow, I told them, I said, you know, we don't need any more baseball players. We don't need any more football players. We don't need any all. We don't. Sorry, I seen Miss Nancy earlier. We don't need any more lawyers. We don't need any more doctors. What we need is some people that fall in love with the Lord. Quit chasing after everything in the world and just fall in love with Him. I was thinking while he was that last point, I appreciate you preaching that last point. We waste our time chasing after something that's right here before us. We waste our time chasing after all these things, and what's really important is right before us. Why don't you right now, Dalton's going to play that piano. I wonder how many of you come down and take this moment. Take this time. Jesus is passing by. Don't let another service get by you. Don't let another chance to come to the altar get by you. Don't let another opportunity to worship Him. Don't let another, come on now, I need some help. It's all right. There's plenty of room up here. We got the seats back off the altar where there's plenty of room. Say, I can't kneel down on a step. It'll be all right if you have to just lay in the floor. You ain't going to hurt the carpet, I promise you. There's plenty of room here. Heads bowed and eyes closed. There's somebody sitting in here. You ain't never been to the altar. Not one time have you ever been to the altar. You relish the cause. Why don't you take advantage of the moment? Come get at His feet tonight. God help us to keep the main thing the main thing. Folks are still coming. That means you can too. This wasn't the first time Mary had been around Jesus. But it may be yours. I want to take an opportunity tonight to ask you a question. I want you to be honest with me. I want everybody to be honest with me. I don't care who you are in this building. I don't care if you know me. I don't care if you've been going to this church for years. I'm not interested in that right now. I'm not judging you, and I won't. But I have a question for you. With everybody's head bowed and their eyes closed, nobody's looking around. If you were to die tonight and you were to face eternity, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? Or would there be some doubt? Tonight, if you say, preacher, I'm not sure, there'd be some doubt. I can't say with all assurance that I know I'm going to heaven. If that's you tonight, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to look right up at me. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want you to make eye contact with me. I think I can see everybody. Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure. Is there anybody, be honest with me tonight? I'm just asking for your honesty. Preacher, I'm not sure. Thank you. You can put your head down. I'm not going to embarrass you. I appreciate you doing that. Thank you. Boy, I appreciate honesty in this day and time. Is there anybody else? Thank you. You can put your head down. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to send anybody to you. I ain't going to point you out or tell nobody you looked at me. I want to know how to end the service. That's all. I've had two look up at me. Is there anybody else who'll be honest? Don't let this pass you by. Don't let this moment go. God's trying to do something here. God's trying to do something in your life. Don't let it go. Thank you. Thank you. That's number three. I see you. I appreciate it. Still not going to hurt nobody's feelings, not going to embarrass anybody. I'm just asking for honesty tonight. Thank you. You can put your head down. Thank you, Lord. I need some folks to get Bibles ready. I need some folks praying. Is there somebody else? Say, preacher, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure, preacher. I'm just being honest. I'm not sure. Not going to hurt you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. You can put your head down. I'm not going to embarrass you. You can put your head down. I see it. Thank you. That's about six or seven. Who else? Be honest with me. That's all. Thank you. You know, I find a lot of people sit in church. I guess I did for a long time as well. In a lost condition, unsure of my salvation. But you know, the Bible tells us that we can know. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. The Bible teaches us that you can know. And I've got some folks that I've taught how to open up that Bible and show you how to be saved. They'll let you read from God's Word. We won't give you any. We won't give you one document with Calvary Baptist Church on it. We'll lay a Bible open in front of you and let you read it for yourself. Let you make a decision for yourself. But I told you I wouldn't embarrass you. I told you I wouldn't come to you and I wouldn't point you out. And I'm going to keep my promise. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you looked up at me tonight and you want to get this thing settled where you can lay your head down on a pillow at night and know where you'll spend eternity, then while everybody's head is bowed, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to get up out of your seat and come right here where I'm at, and I will get somebody to show you. Don't worry about nobody else. This is just you doing business with the Lord right now. Who'll be the first to come? Come on, let's come on. Don't put it off. Remember, this is the moment. I need a lady. Somebody help me out. Michelle. Thank you. Who else will come? Come on now. I had about six or seven. Praise God. How about Brother Matt? Come help me out, Brother Matt. Hallelujah. I need another. Come on. Come on. Come on, Trent. Who else will come? Come on now. I want to help you. I'm still not going to embarrass you, point you out. This is your choice. I can't make it for you. I wish I could. If I could, I would come get you. But I'm begging you. This preacher's begging you to come. If you'll start my way, I'll come yours. We'll meet in the middle. Ain't nobody's looking around. I'm trying to give you a chance to make a decision. Who else will come? Can I tell you something? That first step's that's the hardest one. That first step's the hardest one because everything's going through your mind. What's so-and-so going to think about it? What am I going to have to do? What am I going to have to give up? They're going to make fun of me. Somebody's going to talk about me. If I come forward, and it'd be like me admitting I was there. Listen to me. I was there. I was there. September 28, 1997. I took that first step. Hallelujah. I need somebody else. Somebody help me. I need a man. Come help me. Buddy, come here. Say, where are they going? They're going back there to read for themselves. And I'm going to tell you something. Two of the four that's walked down the aisle, they didn't look up at me. So we still got some folks in here. Won't you come? Come on, man. Don't hold out. Don't hold out on me. Come on. Come on, ladies. Don't hold out on me. You looked up. You showed enough faith to be saved. Come on. Don't let this moment pass you by. Don't let this moment pass you by. Say, preacher, I'll do it next Sunday. It'd be wonderful if we could guarantee ourselves next Sunday. The fact of the matter is we're not any of us guaranteed next Sunday. There was somebody put in a grave today that had plans for July 4th. God help us to seize the opportunity. We're fixing to close the service. All right, I need a lady to help me. Thank you, Miss Carrie. That one didn't look up either. You know God's working on you. I know God's working on you. Won't you come? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. God, thank you so much. Lord, for tonight, God, I thank you for Brother Brent and his family being with us. His preaching, God's blessed our hearts. Lord, right now, God, I know you're moving and you're dealing with people right here. God, I can see it on their face. God, I've been there. God, I don't know what's keeping them in their seat, and I don't know what's holding them back. God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you'd remove all obstacles. God, give liberty. Lord, it's still their decision, but God, I pray, Lord, that obstacles be removed. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you, Lord, for the liberty, the faithfulness of folks, the liberty that's here in our services. But God, this is when it hurts the most, is when you know that there's somebody that needs you. And they're willing to walk out without you. God, I need you. I need you to help us tonight. Lord, I pray that you bless this family, bless our church, and continue to use us, God, to reach this world. Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the honor, glory, and praise for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. If you looked up at me, and there were several that did and didn't come, I want to give you an opportunity. Anytime after this service is over, I'll be walking around. I'll be trying to get to people and shake hands. I want to ask you, find me. Find me and let me help you. We're going to take up an offering. And we've been doing this on the last night of revival. And so I'm going to ask our ushers to come. This is a love offering for Brother Brent and Miss Katie. And it'll all go to them. And if they've been a blessing to you, I want you to say amen. Give the Lord a hand. I believe in taking care of the man of God, and I'm sure thankful that this church does so with us, me and my wife and family. But one thing that I am absolutely proud of is when we have our preachers come in, well, our church sure does a wonderful job of loving on them, and I appreciate that from you. But we're going to take up a love offering, and so I want you to dig deep. If you write any checks, write them to Brother Brent. Don't write them to us. This is all going to him. So if you write any checks, write them to him. And anyhow, if you have cash or whatever, you want to be a blessing to him, then you do so. All right? All right. Let's, Dalton, play as quick as you can. All right? And y'all go ahead, fellas. Y'all take up a love offering for him. Thank you.